Hello and welcome to the Pax Mundi show. I'm your host Nigel, and our topics will be covering stories of war, peace and resistance. Now, the original scheduled program was to cover the story of the landmark trial of Rios Montt in Guatemala and other positive news from Latin America. That will now be covered in next week's show, so don't worry, we will be covering that one. Tonight we have a special guest on the Pax Mundi show. It's Lindy Carter from Wise Up Action, which is a support group for Bradley Manning. Lindy, hello and welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for inviting me on to talk about Bradley. That's great. Thank you, Nigel.
Could you please tell us a bit more about Wise Up Action, please, Lindy?
Okay, well, you're right. It is a support network for Bradley, but it's also a support network for Julian Assange. It is, in fact, a support network, a solidarity network for Julian Assange and Bradley Manning. In Wales, Ireland, Scotland and England. And that is the WISE. It's a bit of a sort of pun on WISE, you know, Wales, Ireland, Scotland, England. And the idea is, I suppose, to link people up who are interested in supporting those two individuals who are very much at threat right at the moment, who've sort of put themselves out there for our sakes and who need our support. And it's to be a dedicated resource of information as well as a website. So you can find the website at wiseupaction.info, and on Twitter it's at wiseupaction.
Okay, thanks a lot, Lindy. Yeah, now, for the benefit of listeners who are not familiar with the story of Bradley Manning, could you please explain who Bradley Manning is and how he came to be in prison, on trial and facing a possible life sentence?
Okay, well, Bradley Manning is a 25-year-old. He's very young, US soldier who was a schoolboy in Wales through his teenage years. His maternal home is in Wales. His mother's family still live there. And what's probably the most important thing to us about him is that he's given us more hard evidence of the abuses of the war on terror than we could have previously imagined, and as such has done a huge service to the peoples of the world. What happened was that while he was an intelligence analyst in Iraq during the Iraq War, he found that he was seeing, and I'll quote from what he said here, that he was seeing incredible things, awful things, things that belonged in the public domain and not on some server stored in a dark room in Washington, D.C. And instead of just doing what everybody else who was privy to this information did and being blasé or apathetic about it or just ignoring it or kowtowing to it, he was really troubled in his conscience by this. And after an incident in particular where he tried to report up his chain of command what he felt were going to be clear abuses, he felt that some people were going to be tortured merely for handing out a completely innocent document revealing corruption, financial corruption in the Iraqi government, and that he was supposed to be rounding them up to hand them over to the federal police, the Iraqi federal police. And he was quite sure they were going to be tortured. It was well understood that the Iraqi federal police did torture people. And he reported this up his chain of command. He says he ran to the officer with the information when he found out what it was really about. And he was told to shut up and go and round up more detainees. And what he says is at that point, everything started slipping. I saw things differently. So he was very troubled in his conscience by these things that he was seeing. And what he ended up doing was deciding to release the information to WikiLeaks in the knowledge that it would in turn be revealed to the public. Because, and I quote from him again, he said, I want people to see. He said, oh, I want people to see the truth, regardless of who they are, because without information, you cannot make informed decisions as a public. And he also said, I feel it's important that it gets out. I feel for some bizarre reason it might actually change something. If it's out in the open, it should do the public good. And I think, you know, you can understand from those statements that he did intentionally do something to change. I'm glad you mentioned resistance at the beginning of the program, because I think supporters of Bradley see this as a huge act of resistance against the abuses of the war on terror.
Okay, thanks, Lindy. I wonder if you can give us any news about Julian Assange of WikiLeaks, who is currently claiming asylum in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, as I understand it, in order to avoid being extradited to Sweden, where he fears he'll then be sent on to the US and would face imprisonment along with Bradley Manning.
There's a vigil every day outside the Ecuadorian embassy where Julian is that people can visit and join. I think currently it's between 2 and 5 in the afternoon. And I mean, the situation is pretty much a stalemate as it has been since he took refuge in there, really. The situation is that and we believe that he is at severe risk from reprisals from the United States, just as Bradley Manning has seen, and that that Ecuador, the government themselves of Ecuador, investigated this and found the same. And he's in the Ecuadorian embassy because that is the best place for him to be at the moment, in order to do the work that he needs to do, which he's very much doing. I mean, he's turning out masses of information. And I think something that's very interesting about the situation with Julian and Bradley is that the media, various people, are always trying to make a distinction between them. And they will say, oh, well, we support Bradley, but we don't support Julian Assange. If you campaign for Bradley Manning, you will find almost nobody who doesn't also support Julian Assange. In fact, our website used to be Wise Up for Bradley Manning, but it became obvious that everybody who was campaigning for Bradley Manning was also campaigning for Julian Assange. And so we changed it to be a solidarity network for Bradley Manning and Julian Assange. And basically, if you want to know anything about the case, there is a very detailed explanation. If you've got any questions or queries about the whole Swedish issue, at justiceforassange.com/extraditing-assange.html. And from there, if you've got any questions about the Swedish process, you will find what you need to know.
Okay, thanks, Lindy. We're just going to have a short music break. We've got a song here from David Rovix. It's a song that he wrote for Bradley Manning. So we'll just listen to the music and then come back to you shortly.
Okay, thanks, Nigel.
What they say is true. He was paid to read reports, find the patterns sifting through. As he read the data, the patterns did emerge. Patterns that were clear both before and since the surge. Patterns of abuse of the most horrific kind. Gunning down civilians out of you and mine. Gunning down the opposition in the middle of the night. Sending off the scholars to be tortured out of sight. Sometimes you need desperate measures when you live in desperate times. Private Manning saw he was looking at war crimes. He wondered what to do to allow the dead to speak. He finally decided to contact WikiLeaks. Now it's all out on the table and everybody knows. The Emperor is naked, he's not wearing any clothes. To live within his skin. He stabbed Bradley in the back, called the cops and turned him in. But not before the soldier took a 500,000 files. If you printed all the pages, they'd stretch on for miles. Evidence against the state, right from the horse's mouth. Machinations in the west, bombings in the south. A treasure trove of details for all the globe to see. How much they need to lie and kill for democracy. How many drone strikes have hit villages, leaving everyone to die? They blamed it on someone else, the official lied, not I. How many coups have been plotted by ambassadors who say that free and fair elections be the order of the day? Now it's all out on the table and everybody knows. The Emperor is naked, he's not wearing any clothes. Genie's out of the bottle, and they're trying to stuff it back and stop it from illuminating everything we lack, such as the rule of law or playing by the book. Look, you can read it, it's right here. The ship of state is run by crooks, and they vilify the messengers, call them every name for daring to blow the whistle on the nature of their game. The game of taking lives and endangering the rest in order for the wealthy few to do what they do best. Dominate the world for the corporate elite. But now their cover's blown from their head down to their feet. And now the Stars and Stripes is looking much more like a rag. The lid is off the box, the cat's out of the bag. Now it's all out on the table and everybody knows. The Emperor is naked, he's not wearing any clothes. Now it's all out on the table, and everybody knows. The Emperor is naked, he's not wearing any clothes.
Well, that was David Rovics, who's one of the best contemporary protest folk singers from the US. And that was A Song for Bradley Manning. Now, I'm just going to give a short plug for David Rovics. He's actually coming over to the UK on tour in the next few weeks at the beginning of June. Now, I know he's got some events lined up around the UK. He's definitely playing London and Brighton. Last time he came on tour, I did actually manage to get him a gig up here. He played at the Glossop Labour Club. Hopefully, you know, we can find him somewhere to play around the northwest as well. So that was David Rovics. Check him out. Well, thanks, Lindy. Are you there again?
Yes, sorry, I'm here. Yeah, I'm very glad you played David Rovics, because we were delighted that he turns out to be in the UK right at this time, and he's kindly offered to play at our protest at the US Embassy on Saturday, the 1st of June. which is a huge boost to us.
Good. Well, I was going to ask you about that event. Can you tell us a bit more about the event coming up on Saturday, the 1st of June? I believe it's got Mass for Brad.
Yeah, I mean, it's called lots of things, really. It doesn't have a particular name. I mean, the Massing for Brad is basically because in the United States, they're having a huge demonstration at Fort Meade on Saturday the 1st, which this will, and ours will be going on at the same time, which they're saying, calling a mass rally for Bradley Manning. So the idea was that the you know, part one Twitter hashtag could be massing for Brad, you know. But basically, just to sort of round up Brad's story, what actually happened after he released the information. And the documents that we now have are the Afghan War Diary, the Iraq War Logs, the State Department Cables, the Guantanamo Files, and the Collateral Murder Video. And if anyone hasn't seen the Collateral Murder Video, for a documented online video of what war is like these days, it is unparalleled, probably. You really ought to watch it. If you Google collateral murder, it will come up straight away. And I don't need to explain any more about it, because the video itself is its own advocate. You can tell what's going on. But basically, Bradley was arrested in May 3 years ago, because after he'd done this, although he tells us that he felt very much relieved in his conscience, clearly he felt very lonely and isolated with this huge weight of responsibility. And what he did is what, you know, this generation commonly does, is engaged in an internet chat conversation with somebody who was supposed to be a trustworthy person in the community of hackers. And he talked to him about this, the whole thing that he'd just done and why he'd done it and what he felt like, and all sorts of other things. And what then happened was this chap, Adrian Lamo, turned him into the authorities. And in fact, he turned him into the authorities halfway through these days of when this chat was going on. And then it's quite clear that he's trying to get more out of him. So Brad was actually betrayed by that chat log. But it's interesting because it's a two-edged sword in many ways, because although it was what got him arrested, it is also a completely unsolicited account of the purity of his motives. You know, it's pure source material. He doesn't know he's being listened to apart from this person. It's almost like a confessional. In fact, it reads it like a soliloquy. And it's online. You can Google Bradley Manning chat logs, or you can find them on our website if you look at the top menu and go to About and go to In His Own Words. You will see part of those chat logs there and a link to the rest of them as well. But Bradley has been in prison for 3 years now. On the 26th of May this year, he will have been in prison pre-trial for 3 years, which is an incredible amount of time and completely against the American soldiers' code of justice. He's supposed to be guaranteed the right to a speedy trial. Well, no way can that be called a speedy trial, obviously. And for the first 11 months of that period, he was abused and treated abysmally, you know, tantamount to torture. And most of us do believe that he was tortured. He was subjected to what was effectively solitary confinement. He was stripped of his clothes. He was made to stand at roll call naked. He was humiliated and abused. And basically denied proper exercise. He wasn't allowed even to do press-ups in his cell. He could only have one book at a time for short periods of time. And he was pretty much bullied. And recently in one of the pre-trial hearings, the judge, there was a long pre-trial hearing when all this abuse was coming out because his defence lawyer was claiming that charges should be dismissed because of it. And indeed, the UN Rapporteur on Torture himself said that he was subjected to degrading and abusive treatment. And the judge herself has actually ruled that he was subjected to some unlawful pretrial punishment. She's ruled very narrowly on that and only taken a matter of 100 and something days off his eventual sentence. But nevertheless, there is a ruling that that was the case. So he was abused very badly by the administration. And basically, he's finally, after a series of pre-trial hearings, which have been going on in the last year, he's finally coming to full court-martial trial on the 3rd of June. And so the protests, the international demonstrations, are on Saturday, the 1st of June. And they aim to be the biggest demonstrations yet in his favour. Previously, when he was being tortured, in March 2011, there were international demonstrations. Various people were lobbied in governments. And he was actually moved after that, in April 2011, to a much less restrictive penal regime. And so, you know, notice is taken of these things, and if you're able at all to come to the US Embassy on Saturday the 1st of June, please do, because the amount of people that turn up is critical. We've got Peter Tatchell speaking, and as you've heard, David Rovitz playing. There's a host of other people who will also be talking. And yeah, we'd be very glad of your presence. There'll also be an open mic at the end.
Well, that's really encouraging. You know, it's good to think that sometimes, you know, actually demonstrating and, you know, taking action can actually have a beneficial effect. Mm. Now, for those listeners who might not be able to get down to London, for those who won't be able to get there, is there anything else that we can do, Lindy?
Well, I mean, I would say that we've found that even small demonstrations out on the streets are very effective. You know, wherever you are, go out into your marketplace and stand with placards and banners. And if you want more information, if you want some more printed material, get in touch with us at Wise Up Action. We can provide you with stuff. I mean, there's all sorts of ways of approaching this. For instance, the National Theatre Wales, Tim Price wrote a play called The Radicalisation of Bradley Manning, and National Theatre Wales put that on in Wales last year. That's going to the Edinburgh Festival in August, and these things like that are a great focus for spreading the word about what's actually happened to Bradley, why he should be set free, why he shouldn't be being punished, you know, why he's a whistleblower, and basically campaigning for him. And I mean, a few of us followed the play around Wales, and, you know, anyone that's in Scotland should do the same when it goes to Edinburgh. There's also another play called Desert, which is completely and utterly different, but also very, very good, which a scratch sort of hour version took place a year ago in Exeter at the Bike Shed Theatre. And they're back with a proper full updated version. It's called Desert, as I say. It's at the Bike Shed Theatre from the 21st of May to the 1st of June. It's also in London at Tristan Bates Theatre on the 9th of June, I think. And if you happen to be around tomorrow evening, they're having a bash in Marylebone. If you Google the Molino Group, you'll find out all about that. But all those things are focuses for demonstrating and nothing at all. Just go out on the streets with a placard, with a board, with information. As I say, if you want more stuff, more resources, get in touch with us. We can send you things. And the other thing is to lobby government. You know, Bradley is half Welsh, to phone the states, to phone the comment line at the White House, to write to Bradley himself. You can find his address on our website, as I said. And, you know, various ways of doing creative activities, anything you can think up.
Well, yeah, thanks very much for that, Lindy. Yeah. Now, I think you've told us a lot more about Bradley Manning, you know, than certainly, you know, than I knew. And I think the one thing that he's really was known for, the thing that came out in the press, was the clips of the collateral damage.
It's collateral murder.
Collateral murder.
Yeah, it's a pun on the idea of collateral damage, obviously.
Yeah. So I think that short clips of that video, which was a live video filmed from a US military attack helicopter whilst they were engaged in attacking civilians on the ground. That was actually aired quite widely. I wonder if you can tell us any more about that particular video.
Yeah, well, as I say, if you Google collateral murder and you watch the video, as you said, it is actually the video taken from the Apache helicopter as it's targeting the people on the ground. And basically what's happening is that there's a group of people on the ground wandering around in quite relaxed mode. You can see they're sort of chatting and they're strung out and sort of looking back. And it happens that there are two Reuters journalists there. And it's true that I think a couple of the people have guns slung over their shoulders or whatever, but it's quite plain that there's nothing aggressive going on at all. It's a very relaxed scenario. And what you see is that the officers in the helicopter are desperate to gun them down. And they literally do gun them all down in the street. And then you see a man who clearly is wounded, but probably the only person still alive, sort of crawling along. And they are desperate to finish him off. And then a man turns up in a van. He actually, it turns out, was taking his two children to school and sees this man and stops the van, leaps out to rescue the wounded. The wounded man is being carried by somebody else who's helping him into the van. And these soldiers in the helicopter are desperate to target the van even. Now, they don't actually know there are children in the van, nevertheless, but still, it's quite obvious that all they're doing is rescuing the wounded man. And so the van nearly makes it out, but they get it and they stop it. And what happens is that they kill the father of the children. The two children are quite severely wounded. And when they find out that there were children in the van, they merely say, oh, well, it serves them right for bringing their kids into a battle. Well, it's not a battle. It's how war is conducted nowadays. And that, I think, is what's so shocking about it, because it reveals to us the realities of war these days. It's not on a battlefield. It's in people's normal streets. It's in their home. The man was taking his children to school. You know, it's just a totally different ball game. And I think the thing about the collateral murder video is that it reveals to us just what warfare is like nowadays. You hear the operatives in the helicopter talking like it's a video game. And I'm sure, you know, that they aren't unusual. In fact, we know they aren't unusual. We've been told they aren't unusual.
Yeah, so clearly that film, that video, was actually evidence of a war crime that was committed there and otherwise would never have been known. Nobody would ever have known about that war crime. And so, you know, one can understand why the military want to, you know, make an example of Bradley Manning. But President Obama, he was actually elected on a platform of, you know, opposing war crimes and, you know, also championing whistleblowing. So he appears to have done a kind of an about turn and to be actually, you know, really, again, trying to make an example of Bradley Manning and to generally clamp down on whistleblowers generally.
Yeah, what I would say, Nigel, is that in fact, you know, the jury's still out on whether it's a war crime. To you and me and to any reasonable person, it is definitely a war crime. But in fact, it's touch and go, apparently, according to the experts, whether that is technically, according to humanitarian law, a war crime. And I think what is more shocking about it is that it's not an exception. We're told by soldiers that it is the norm. You know, Ethan McCord, who was actually the person you see in the video, afterwards a sort of foot soldiers come along and you see this man actually discovering the children and rescuing them. And he told us, I mean, he basically has said since that the point about this is that it is completely par for the course. It's standard. You know, that he says that they were told, for instance, if an IED went off, that's a roadside bomb went off, that they should return 360 degree rotational fire wherever they were. So they'd be in the middle of a place where there are civilians and they're supposed to just gun everybody and everything down. I mean, the whole situation is so wildly out of control. Back to President Obama. Yes, definitely. I mean, he campaigned on the basis of being the most transparent administration ever, on being for whistleblowers. He made several statements about being for whistleblowers. And yet it's quite extraordinary because I think a lot of us had a lot of hope, although I do have to say that John Pilger, bless him, was warning us that our hopes were in vain at the very beginning. However, a lot of us did have hope that Obama would be a change, and in fact they've turned out to be a highly untransparent administration. Yeah. And the Obama administration has prosecuted more whistleblowers under the Espionage Act of 1917 than all previous presidents and administrations put together. So they do have an absolutely fanatical hatred of leakers. It's quite extraordinary. It reminds me, actually, of the situation with Mrs. Thatcher and how, you know, the Blair government followed that. You know, what's supposed to be a more liberal government, and in fact just actually builds on what has gone before. And it's the same, you know, it far from overturning what the Bush government created, Obama has just consolidated it. He's refused to prosecute anybody for the torture, for the offences. Absolutely nobody has been done for any of that. And he says he wants to look forward. forward, but I mean, you can't without looking at the past and dealing with it. It's a false foundation, and I'm very much afraid that that's where we're going. And look at Guantanamo. I mean, you know, he promised to close Guantanamo in 2008, and the situation there is an absolute disaster.
Yeah, absolutely. As you were saying, Obama does appear to be going after whistleblowers, and just this week, I think there's actually been some issues with the AP press agents, where the government Justice Department has actually sent officers into their buildings to seize all the mobile phones from the journalists. So they've seized these mobile phones from these investigative journalists just so that they can find out who's been giving information to them and presumably then to prosecute anybody, you know, who's a government employee. So that's ongoing.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, and I mean, I don't think they're all that worried about legality and illegality of approach. There are legal ways of doing things and illegal ways of doing things, and I don't think they're remotely concerned about doing things the legal way, which brings us back to Julian Assange. I mean, you know, there is nothing in the law that they could prosecute Julian Assange for, and yet... I firmly believe that they're perfectly capable of creating something. I don't think it matters very much. You know, if there's not a law, they'll make one. And in fact, somebody did say that. I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody in Congress, I think. And, you know, basically, however they go about it. I mean, there's been a grand jury convened investigating WikiLeaks Julian Assange for over 2 years. And I mean, it's known to be an all of government, a whole of government investigation into WikiLeaks.
Yes. And on that, they have not made a statement that they're not going to prosecute him. So Julian is very right to fear, you know, that the US has the intention to get hold of him and to prosecute him.
Well, they've clearly stated, I mean, you know, they have clearly stated that they're interested in doing that.
Yeah, so we really need to take our hats off to both Bradley Manning and Julian Assange. You know, they are clearly two men of, you know, conscience. Who are doing the right thing and, you know, who provide an example, I hope, to the rest of us out here, you know, to try and make a difference and not just to accept things as they are, not just to accept the status quo and to accept, you know, these atrocities because... they've been covered up, but to get out and do something.
Yeah, they're very much examples of what two individual people, you know, by actually putting themselves on the line, have achieved. It's phenomenal. You know, we really have to be very grateful to them both. And, you know, and they have done it at great risk to their own lives, to their own selves, to their own freedom and liberty. I mean, it's not much fun being cooped up in the Ecuadorian embassy, I don't imagine, not knowing quite what's going to happen next, you know. And Bradley has already suffered immensely, and he's facing the rest of his life in prison. The least we can do is support them both. But yeah, as you say, they are fantastic examples of what just not accepting the status quo and, you know, not something Bradley says is he's really opposed to apathy. He says that apathy is the worst thing, you know, and I think that's it. Just do something. Just react and respond to the wrong things you see. That's what they teach us, isn't it? I mean, part of the demonstration, the idea of the demonstration is to thank Bradley. It's a celebration of his act, you know. And it says the trial of Bradley Manning, who made a free choice not to go along with the corruption and horror of the War of Terror, but to take a stand at great risk to his own life, begins on Monday, the 3rd of June. We need to let them know how we feel that a young man of such integrity, whose compassion for the suffering peoples of planet Earth gave him courage, is now threatened with life in prison for his good deeds. And that's what it amounts to.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm certainly intending to do something about Bradley Manning and try and get along to the event on the 1st of June or to see if we can organise some kind of event here.
Yeah, well, that would be great. You know, if you could, you know, if people, because not everybody's going to be able to get to London, obviously. I mean, it would be nice if as many people as possible did, because it gives a clear demonstration of numbers altogether. But, you know, doing something out there would be wonderful as well. And I know we'd asked Los K of the Pirate Party UK to speak, and I'm not sure if he's able to actually come down to London to do that, or if he would be prepared to do something up there. But, you know, certainly the Pirate Party are involved. I mean, the Pirate Party hosted the WikiLeaks servers in Sweden for a while, didn't they?
Yes, and just giving taking the opportunity to have a plug, really. The Green Party, of which I'm a member, is also, you know, supportive of WikiLeaks and Julian Assange and, you know, the case of Bradley Manning as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's well worth doing it through your ordinary networks, you know, passing the message on. I mean, we had an event in London at the Century Club last Monday. Chase Madar, who's written a book called, which is the only book available properly in this country in bookshops, I think, called The Passion of Bradley Manning, which is published by Verso and is well worth getting if you want to find out more, because he gives the background, the American background, the overclassification, all sorts of things that help us to understand what that the act of Bradley Manning, you know, comes against, what sort of backdrop is against it. And he was over in this country promoting the book, and we had an event with him and Ben Griffin from Veterans for Peace UK and Ireland, and Andy Worthington, who has actually used the Guantanamo files that Bradley leaked to form a massive resource on Guantanamo, which is great. And they were at the Century Club in a panel discussion event, which was very well attended. And Dame Vivian Westwood came. And what she said was that this is all connected. All these things are connected. And again, that's very much the theme on Saturday, the 1st of June. All these things are very connected. You know, people that are campaigning about Guantanamo, people that are campaigning about all sorts of injustices and human rights abuses, all have an affinity with Bradley. You know, it is, and in some cases, their particular cause has very much benefited from an aspect or aspects of the leaks that Bradley revealed to the public. And I mean, lots of people say, oh yeah, but we knew that already. Well, we only knew it in principle if we did know it. We didn't have the hard evidence, you know, and now what Bradley has gifted to the world is hard evidence of torture, human rights abuses, corruption, collusion of governments, you know, dreadful things. And they're all there. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of the issues that we've covered on recent PAX Monday shows has been the issue of drones and Guantanamo, you know, the current situation with the prisoners on hunger strike. And a lot of, as you say, the information about these things, these events and other war crimes is now available there. It's on WikiLeaks. You've just got to get on the website and start, you know, really trawling through the data.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about WikiLeaks as well, because in fact, what Bradley told us on the 28th of February in a statement that he made to the court was that he previously tried to offer the information both to the New York Times and the Washington Post, but they kind of just missed the boat really on it. It didn't really work. It didn't work out. They didn't call him back, or they didn't do this. They really perhaps thought he wasn't, you know, it wasn't very sound or whatever. But if it hadn't been for WikiLeaks, we wouldn't have the information. Because, as I say, Bradley actually found it very difficult to get it to the press, the regular mainstream media.
Yeah, I think we've got a press, really, that has now been tamed. Within the last few wars that we had, the Iraq war and Afghanistan, the press has become like a puppet of the military to some extent. You know, you've had these embedded journalism with the military, and the press are frightened. I think they don't want to... they don't have the will to actually go against the government and to investigate war crimes, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's true. It's really, they've become incredibly tame. There's also an issue of funding. I think that the funding for investigative journalism is hugely limited nowadays. I think that, as you say, that when they go to a war zone, they're embedded with the troops. I mean, you're bound to get just the story you're supposed to hear. I think it's very interesting as well that if you listen without any particular knowledge about a subject to, say, the regular radio programs, the BBC or whatever, things can sound perfectly reasonable. When you actually know the ins and outs of something and you hear it reported, you realise just how ludicrously reported it is, how lacking in information, in integrity, you know, how just poorly it is being presented. And then it makes you think, well, what about all the rest of the news? Just how badly is it being dealt with? I think if I can just give another plug for the 1st of June, somebody else who's supposed to be speaking is an independent photojournalist called Guy Smallman. And he has been back to Afghanistan lots of times, I think more than a dozen. And he is the only journalist who has actually visited and talked to the people of Granai, where there was a NATO massacre. I can't remember the exact details of it, but he, you know, was unembedded. He went and talked to the people, and, you know.
Yes, and that's the kind of journalism that we need. I know I was actually doing a review on the Dirty Wars by Jeremy Scahill, and Jeremy Scahill did his research. He went out to these places where these war crimes happened, in Yemen and in Afghanistan, and actually interviewed, you know, the people who'd been attacked and had their family members killed. And that's the kind of journalism that we need, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
And I think Bradley Manning and Julian Assange, what they've been doing is providing that information, you know, to journalists and to anybody, to us, you know, members of the public, you know, to take these issues up, I think.
Yeah, it's a fantastic resource if you want to, you know, to produce an analytical piece. You have all the information there, don't you? You know,
that's right. So,
and I hope they'll do more and more. You know, that journalists are people who have that inclination will take up There's huge swathes of information there that haven't had anything done with them, and I'm sure we'll see more and more going on. And I mean, all the time you see journalists in the mainstream media referring to a WikiLeaks cable, you know, yes, as evidence of something or another.
Yeah, so, well, clearly, I think we're all indebted to Julian Assange and to Bradley Manning, you know, and thanks for coming onto the show tonight to tell us more about, you know, Bradley and Julian and, you know, keep up the good work that you're doing there. You know,
joining. And just say to everybody, join in, get in touch.
Yeah.
If you want resources, tell us, we'll send you stuff out, and yeah, go and do your own thing, get out on the streets.
Thanks very much, Lindy, and
thank you, Nigel.
Just run past the website, give people the details.
Okay, it's wiseupaction.info, and on Twitter it's at wiseupaction. And there you can find out about all sorts of different people who are engaged in activities on behalf of Bradley Manning and Julian Assange, and also information about them.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Lindy. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks, Nigel. That's great. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Well, thanks to Lindy Carter from the Wise Up Action there. That was a really exciting interview about what's happening with Bradley Manning and Julian Assange. And thanks to everybody who's been listening tonight. Next week's show, we will be covering some of the breaking events and news in Latin America. You know, some of the positive news about the resistance and the fight back there against, you know, war and terror. The Rios Montt case in Guatemala, where a former president has been convicted of genocide. We'll be discussing that and the implications of that case. It implicates the US support for those war crimes. So tune in next week, and you know, we'll have lots more positive news from Latin America, news from the Telesur TV station. So thanks a lot for listening. Bye.